it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Joe Angelo, Jim Hunter, Yankee Stadium. Tonight, the Orioles open a three-game set against the division-leading Yankees, and they will do so without Darren O'Day. Darren O'Day today was placed on the 10-day disabled list. They got those shoulder miseries one more time. Stefan Crichton had been brought up, but any day without Darren O'Day is not a good day. And for the Orioles here today, yet another challenge. Buck and Rock in a moment when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter and tonight's manager's report. Continuing a road trip after one game in D.C. Alec Asher, you've seen him when he's been really good. Then you saw the struggles, that one inning in Houston and then last night. Is it just something as simple as not commanding the ball in those two starts?
Well, it is, but, you know, we're in the business of trying to figure out why. It's inconsistent. And, you know, you kind of see why a guy has been inconsistent in his career. But Asher's been, you know, he shows he's capable of it. And he's got a good delivery, so it's probably a little something else that's going on. Maybe mentally and emotionally kind of gets away from before he gets back in step. But fortunately, you know, Ubaldo got us through those innings. And usually when you have two teams that kind of weary from the last 2 days, it's whose starting pitcher pitches the best because they're the only really rested guys. But everybody's tired. You know, I say tired. You know, you're spent from things that you're challenged with in the big leagues every day. There's a lot of people out there working 9 to 5 for 5 days would love to have that type of challenge.
The Nats had 5 steals in the first 3 innings. How much of that falls on the pitcher, whether it's time to the plate or not holding the runner, and how much of that is something else? I know Trey Turner's doing that with everybody, basically.
A lot of it's got to do with Trey Turner's a real fast guy with really good instincts. You know, his times of plate are fine. If we get the ball in the right fashion, our catchers will throw out the people they're supposed to throw out, including Trey Turner. But his times were fine, but the breaks and the anticipation of him going to the plate – you know, we looked at a lot. You know, Davey Lopes, our first base coach, is one of the best in the game at picking up little tendencies that pitchers have about when they're going to the plate, not coming over. So that's something that, you know, we're spending a lot of time on, make sure that Ash is not doing that, like all our pitchers. But those things get around. But really good breaks. It wasn't the times to the plate. It was the fact that we didn't hold them to the lead they had.
Manny Machado not in the lineup again tonight. What's the latest? Is he getting any better at all?
A little bit. You know, he's sore, still sore. Really can't make a complete fist without some pain. So, fortunately, it's on the left hand. So, I think we're reaching the point where here shortly we're going to have to decide where, you know, another part of it, Rock, is it's a day or two even when he's playing. Is he developing bad habits? Is it sore? Can he play today? Can he play tomorrow? You know, I think after tonight we're going to need to make a decision what direction we're going to go. I'm going to sit down with Manny here shortly.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Adam Jones is in the lineup, so that was just one day to freshen him up when you sat him yesterday.
Well, I don't know. I guess freshen up, just legs were real sore. He ran around, and you know, the way Adam plays, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to do coming into the season is give more days like that off to he and JJ and Chris and some of our guys that play a lot. And fortunately, you know, we got Joy and we got some other people in Norfolk, and you know, we got to continue to do a good job of keeping these guys healthy. You know, we're a little over a third of the way of the season. We got a lot of games ahead of us.
Wellington Castillo has a locker and a jersey here. Do you think he will be on the active roster this weekend?
Well, I'm not going to jinx us by he's playing over in Trenton tonight. He left the hotel at 2:00 with Ramon Martinez with his gear. He's going to catch 6 or 7 innings, get 3 or 4 at bats just to check one last time. And if that goes well, he'll be active tomorrow.
Aaron Judge has been like the talk of baseball this year. I know it's not a simple answer. How do you pitch a guy like that? But, I mean, how do you approach someone like this, and what have you seen from him?
Well, one thing that's important is make sure there's not people on base when they hit. You know, the solo stuff doesn't hurt you too much usually, but he's just in a good place. I mean, very quietly, you want to look at him. He's contending for the Triple Crown. You know, that kind of tells you what type of year he's having, and he's a good defender. I mean, it's a great job of scouting and player development by them, and they stuck with him. And just the leverage and the strength factor, especially in this ballpark, the way it plays to right field, and he doesn't need a whole lot of help with fence dimensions, but he's a good-looking player, very much like Sanchez last year, and I do think he's for real. He's got a good feeling for the strike zone, and he's got a good way about him. I'm jealous.
And finally, Jordan Montgomery on the mound again tonight. You've already seen him this season. What are your impressions of him? What has he shown you?
Well, they've gone to TBA for Sunday, but with Tanaka. But all three of these guys are you know, they throw more off-speed pitches than they do fastballs, and it's something we're constantly seeing with, and we see a lot that we have to make a better adjustment with that. You know, we know that they're going to pitch backwards. They're going to throw changeups. Like, this guy's going to use your aggressiveness against you, and it's something that we've really had a challenge with here the last year or two, of understanding some of the pitch patterns, and it takes a lot of taking away your ego and sitting on something soft, not being afraid to get beat with a fastball now and then. But the percentages are way in your favor if you're sitting soft on these guys.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Right, Manny Machado, again, is not in the lineup. Darren O'Day on the 10-day disabled list, so he is not in the bullpen. But Mike Wright is. Mike Wright and Jim Hunter, when we continue with our warm-up show right after this.
On a beautiful night for baseball in New York, we are at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. We'll chat with Mike Wright of the Orioles bullpen after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles continue the road trip tonight, first of three in New York against the first-place Yankees, and visiting with Mike Wright. And Mike, you're in the process of making the transition to the bullpen. The other night, you really were responsible for the Orioles able to come back. 3 1/3 scoreless, and the Orioles rally late and win. How are you adjusting to going from the mindset of a starter to what you're asked to do in the bullpen?
I think it's the same mindset. Like I said in spring, you know, it's not a starter or a reliever thing right now. I'm just trying to get outs and help the team, you know, stay right where we are.
Is your approach different in the sense of how you attack the hitters? As a starter, you may have to pace yourself maybe three times through the lineup. Not necessarily the same thing as a reliever.
Yes, you know, you're not going to try to go seven out of the pen. You know, maybe one day that'll happen, but you kind of give everything you got every pitch, and, you know, right now it's working for me.
Do you throw fewer pitchers in terms of your repertoire? You can pound the zone and go right at hitters as a reliever, right?
Yeah, I'm still throwing all my pitches, though. You know, I think I still have a little bit of the starter mindset, which is good if I'm going to come in long relief, you know. I still have my windup and... You know, but it's been good so far. You know, I'm getting a lot of early contact and, you know, keeping my pitch count down.
Your velocity has certainly been there. You're hitting 98 consistently. And it looks to me that maybe you're calmer coming in relief because your command of that fastball has been much better.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in spring, you know, I came in a really good spot. My numbers did not reflect that in spring, but I was confident the whole time. And even when I was down in AAA, the numbers didn't reflect how well I felt. And I think it's just a reflection of all that hard work this offseason and, you know, just coming up here and, you know, knowing we have one of the best defenses in the league and, you know, letting them play for you.
When you know that you have the stuff to get big league hitters out and do that consistently, and for whatever reason, for a stretch, it doesn't work, does it frustrate you, or do you stick to what you know and your convictions that you can get people out at this level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of things that, you know, could have changed in AAA, you know, knowing that my numbers weren't there, but I felt better than I've ever felt in AAA, and like I said, my numbers didn't reflect it, but... you know, I've been up here and I've done well, and I've been up here and I've struggled, and I knew if I could do what I was doing down there up here that the defense would kind of take care of itself, and you know, the game kind of comes around.
Now, there are times where you are in the upper 90s with your fastball, but there's other times where you're 90-91. Now, is that a two-seamer versus four-seamer, or are you cutting it a little bit? Because it definitely is giving the hitters a different look.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure, but I know I haven't been back-to-back days in quite some time, especially on a consistent basis. And you know, when you go 2 1/3, even if I was starting and I went 2 1/3, I'd still get 4 days off. Now I'm getting 1 day off and I'm back out there. So, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit of your body getting used to it and trying to recover and get back up to those, you know, high 90s.
And it looks like you still are trying to set hitters up for the off-speed stuff. And your off-speed stuff, the last couple of times out up here, has been very, very good. It seems to me that's almost designed as the swing and miss pitch. You get ahead and then you try to get in the chase.
I think it all depends on the hitter up there and how I got to where I'm at, which one's going to be my out pitch or my swing and miss pitch. I'm not really trying to set up for any one pitch. You know, like I said, I still kind of have a starter's mindset, so just kind of roll with how the at-bat's going and finish them off however.
Does the starter's mindset in any way help you as a reliever, even though in the back of your mind you know it may only be two innings, it may only be three innings?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm coming in long relief, so I know I got to eat up some innings, so it's not like I can just you know, blow three guys away, and then that's the end of my job. You know, that might happen every once in a while, but, you know, I still got to eat up innings and throw a few pitches and, you know, try to get deeper into the game.
With the importance of the bullpen on this team, how it's used and how often it's used, is that in some way inspiring to you? I mean, this is a contending team, obviously, and any job you could do to help along the way, as you did the other night, if you don't do what you do, the team probably doesn't come back. Is that something that you can build on?
Yeah, absolutely. My job right now is to save Givens, save Brock, save O'Day when I need to. And, you know, so far I think I've done a pretty good job about it. And, you know, I'm still up here, and we're doing well, and those guys are well rested, and hopefully we continue. And when it comes down to crunch time, those guys can get in the game, and, you know, we can win a ball game.
You know, that's a great attitude, because I've heard Buck use this term from time to time, where he'll be talking about relievers and they'll say, "What's my role?" And he'll say, "Your role is get outs when I put you in the game." That's exactly what you're doing. Don't think about it. Just go do it.
Yeah, that's right. Like I said, I'm coming in when we're down, or I'm coming in when we're way up. But, you know, those innings are just as important. You know, that's never been more true as, you know, when we were facing the Pirates. You know, we came back from big deficits, and, you know, just keeping your team in the ballgame is big.
And it's got to be nice for you, because I know all you've been through and the up and down and trying to figure it out. And here you are pitching well, and you're becoming a bigger and bigger part of that bullpen.
Yeah, I'm not trying to blow it out of proportion. I've only been up here a week. So, you know, I've had good stretches before. You know, it's just one of those things, you got to keep going out there, keep doing well, and, you know, just keep trying hard.
And that's Mike Wright of the Orioles bullpen. The other night he relieved Wade Miley. And with 3 1/3 scoreless innings, that was on Wednesday against the Pirates, the Orioles would eventually fall behind 6-1 and then rally and come back and win in 11. That was the Trey Mancini night, home run to tie it, and then a home run to win it. Mike Wright settling in nicely in the bullpen. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, back at Yankee Stadium, and hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter. After an Oriole loss here in the first of a three-game series, Orioles in the loss column. Yankees win it by a score of 8-2. Now, the good news was that early in the game, Jonathan Scope with a mammoth home run against Jordan Montgomery in the top of the second inning, and a ball that traveled 454 feet. It gave the Orioles an early 2-0 lead. After that, it was nothing bad news, mostly Yankee news after that, as they win it by a score of 8-2. Montgomery, after giving up the home run to Scope in the second inning, he then gave up a single to J.J. Hardy. After that, he retired 8 in a row and 17 of his next 18 batters. So pretty good there. Montgomery able to win a ball game to even his record now this season at 4-4. The Orioles went the entire game. They went 0-4 with runners in scoring. Actually, no, 0-5 with runners in scoring position. But the Yankee pitching staff ended the game. They retired 23 of the last 25 batters. So after the Scope home run, offense for the Orioles was just about non-existent. Well, Dylan Bundy began the game tonight by giving up a leadoff double in the first inning. After that, though, he struck out Hicks. He got Judge on a force out, and then he went to work on Matt Holliday. And the 1-2 pitch, Holliday, half swing and a miss. See you later. Struck him out. So Bundy does get out of it. Yankees, Gardner, a leadoff double, but the Yankees do not score. Well, Dylan Bundy with a 21-pitch first inning. It was a nothing-nothing game until the top of the second inning. Chris Davis, the leadoff hitter, he drew a base on balls. So he was on base for Jonathan Scope. Fly ball, left center, pretty well hit. Gardner gives up on it. Wave it bye-bye beyond the bullpen in left center. He hits it into the seats behind the bullpen. That was mammoth. Scope number 11, and it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. How about 454 feet worth of mammoth? And so indeed, early in the game, Orioles were looking pretty good. Then came the bottom of the second inning. It was Starling Castro, the Yankees' second baseman, against Bundy, the leadoff hitter. Castro sends a fly ball out to a deep right center. Trumbo backing up at the wall. Gone. That's a bases empty home run to cut the lead in half. It is now 2-1 Baltimore here in the second inning. Well, Castro with home run number 10 for him this season. So 2-1, and then Sanchez came up. He doubled. And then Gregorius, hit a fly ball to get Sanchez to third, and then Headley came up to hit. V1 pitch, fly ball, right field, pretty well hit. Again, Trumbo backing up at the back of the warning track, under it to make the catch. It'll tie the game. Sanchez tags, and he ties it from third base. And it's a 2-2 game now. And here at Yankee Stadium, on a ball hit like that, normally that ball gets out. But that one didn't. We had a tie game. Bundy, after that, he settled down. In the third, he got a 1-2-3.
And the 1-2 to Aaron Judge. Swing and a miss. He got him another fastball. And Judge, on back-to-back pitches, goes down on strikes, and he swings through strike three. So Bundy has his first 3-up, 3-down inning.
Yeah, eventually Bundy put together a stretch of 10 consecutive outs until the bottom of the sixth inning when Aaron Hicks came up as the leadoff hitter.
Bundy deals the 2-1, swinging a high fly ball to deep right, and the Yankees have the lead. That ball's going to go, and it's gone. Aaron Hicks hits it out. He hung a changeup, and Aaron Hicks didn't miss. Hang a changeup, you speed up the bat. And for Aaron Hicks, his ninth home run has given the Yankees a 3-2 lead.
Yep, so there you go. Hicks, for him, it was just the beginning. Now, earlier in the game, Caleb Joseph came up with maybe it was the defensive play of the game. Dylan Bundy back to work. He delivers to Gregorius, who popped it up back of the plate. Caleb coming back, going to toss the mask. On the warning track, he leads up against the netting, and he makes a one-handed basket catch. How about that play by Caleb Joseph? He got to the back of the warning track, right back of the plate. And after getting rid of the mask, he kind of jumps up into the net and makes a one-handed catch. Nicely done by Caleb. That was outstanding by the Orioles catcher. But then Hicks hit that home run in the sixth, and he enjoyed it so much.
The Jackson pitch, swinging a high fly ball, deep right field, and that ball's going to go. Hicks hits it out. He has a two-home run night. And the Yankees now lead it 5-2. So Edwin Jackson, in two appearances with the Orioles, has allowed a two-run home run in each. And his own error to begin this inning, very, very costly. It gave the Yankees an extra out, and Aaron Hicks hits it out. So Hicks has a two-home run, three RBI game, and the Yankees now lead it 5-2.
Yep, and Edwin Jackson wasn't done yet. He walked Aaron Judge, the next hitter, and then Holiday came up to hit.
And the pitch is swung on and lifted to left center field. That ball's hit well. Back on it, Rickard at the wall. It's off the wall and in play. Jones plays the carom, rounding third, heading for the plate is Judge. Here's the relay throw from Scope, not in time. Judge ahead for a slide. He scores, and it's a three-run inning. Yankees lead it 6-2.
Yeah, and all three runs unearned against Edwin Jackson. Yankees then got two more against Crichton in the bottom of the eighth inning. We told you about the Yankee pitching staff. Montgomery ended his game tonight, getting 17 of his last 18 batters. And then Clippard with a 1-2-3 eighth. And then the ninth inning, the birthday boy, Jonathan Holder, today his 24th birthday, he got the game's last three outs. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Hardy lifting a fly ball, right field corner. They go Judge over in the corner, under it to make the catch. That's how the game ends. And this one tonight is in the loss column. The Yankees win this thing 8-2. Same two teams again tomorrow night. That's the great thing about baseball. You get to come back the next day and try and get it right. Because tonight they didn't get it right. The Yankee pitching staff, they end the game by retiring 23 of the last 25 batters. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium, where the Yankees get the opener here by a final of 8-2 as New York broke open a 3-2 game with three in the seventh and two more in the eighth. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Buck, first question, I guess, would be about the offense. It's a couple of nights here where you haven't gotten what you wanted, huh?
No, not good. Hit a two-run homer, and that's about it.
You see anything in the at-bats?
Well, they obviously, I try not to take anything away from the opposition. That young man's having a good year. You can see why they've been high on him. But, you know, we're just not making adjustments to pitching patterns that we know they're coming. And I know it's frustrating for coaches and the players because you're trying to, and the want to, you know, they're just pushing and not letting, you know, slowing the game down sometime. But Dylan was real good again, and it's it's like he comes out of the game, and then you know, we don't get much done after that with the pitching department.
Just, I mean, how much of this is about Zach and what you've had to do rearranging guys and where they go?
That's an excuse. We're not going. You know, I appreciate you asking, but everybody's got challenges. You know, Chapman's not pitching for them. You know, they're a good club. They got three guys hitting over 300, but we are too. And, you know, just hadn't been there for us. You know, you can reach back for, you know, whether you're, all the things. I don't even like talking about them. Yep. I'm not going to let that creep in the locker room. We've had but the guys are getting some opportunities that normally wouldn't have because of some injuries, and you better take advantage of it. You know, you better remember how you got here. You know, what made you, you know, what you did to get here.
Tejada looks like he's doing just that.
Yeah, Ruben, you know, a lot of people forget with the Mets, he was considered to be a really up-and-coming player and had some real nasty injuries, as we remember, with some of the slides he took at second, a good reason why we got rid of that rule, but or put a rule in. But he's handling himself well. He's it was a good addition for us.
Can you afford to go another game without Manny available so that you're playing with a short bench again?
Manny's pretty good, and he may not be operating on all cylinders statistically right now, but he's a guy worth waiting for if you can. I had a good long talk with him today, and we'll make a decision here shortly, but you know, he's worth waiting on.
What'd you think about Adam, how he looked out there getting him back on the field?
He looked fine. He looked fine. I talked to him a little bit after the game and about how he felt and everything, but that was good. You know, because he plays the game so hard, you're going to have some days, especially as we get older, where he's going to need a blow. And, you know, it's one thing to tell a guy. I had a long talk with him in the spring about that, and you tell him to be frank with you and let me know. And then when he is, what are you going to do, get upset about it? I'm actually happy that he feels comfortable telling me that.
Okay. Buck, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Yankees win the opener here by a final of 8-2.